In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. There is a solemn ceremony which probably most of you have never seen. It takes place only once or twice a year in church for the baptism of an adult convert who's never been baptized before. It is the original form of baptizing going back to the early centuries, a bit like the pontifical mass, which you see a few times a year, is the original form of the mass, and the simple high mass or a low mass are shorter versions to be performed with less in the way of clergy and servers for daily and weekly worship. So too, there is a simple rite of baptism we use for babies, but it's instructive to look at the original ceremony in its fullness. It's permeated, of course, with a sense of faith. There are many exorcisms of the devil. There are no exorcisms of the devil in the Novus Ordo Rite. And when the convert comes into church for the first time, led by the priest and holding his stole, we do the same thing with babies, where the convert is meant to prostrate in adoration, as the clergy do during Holy Week, flat on the floor, on his face, to worship God. This ceremony is not very ecumenical. If it's a Jew who's being baptized, the priest must say to him, "Abhor Jewish infidelity, renounce the false belief of the Hebrews." If he had been a Muslim, "Abhor Islam, this evil and faithless sect." And if he belonged to some Protestant religion which does not baptize validly, the priest must say, "Renounce heresy, this infamous sect of the Pentecostals or whatever." There are also many signs of the cross, of course. And at a certain point, the priest makes the signs of the cross over the eyes of the catechumen. And as he does so, he says, "Mayest thou see the grandeur of God, claritas Dei." O Lord, that I may see, that my eyes may truly be blessed, as our Lord says in today's gospel. But as a matter of fact, we often don't see, do we? Perhaps because we are in too much of a hurry, or we've seen it before, or we don't want to see it. A bit like those two Jewish clergymen in today's gospel who didn't really see that poor man all beaten and left by the roadside. The month of August, the month of Our Lady's Immaculate Heart, and along with August, the summer is almost over. Didn't it go quickly? Next weekend, we celebrate the end of summer. What have we seen before we say goodbye to August? What have we seen this month? Well, just that. I think we did a lot of seeing in church. Remember the first Sunday, the Transfiguration, the Blessed Sacrament exposed majestically over the altar? We saw our Lord in his divinity. But Moses was there and Elias from the Old Testament. Today, we see Moses again, and this time it's Moses who is shining with glory. So much so, St. Paul says, he had to veil his face because the Hebrews could not bear the brightness. And Paul says, look, and that was the Old Testament, which really didn't do anything to save souls. What about the New Testament? How far more glorious it is. Moses is glorious to us, though, because he represents our Lord. In the very beautiful Gregorian offertory, which the choir will shortly be singing, Moses stands in the sight of God and prays for the forgiveness of his people's sins. That stands for our Lord at every Mass before his Father, praying for the forgiveness of our sins. And all of that glory, think of it, That was the Old Testament. The Jewish religion ceased to exist 2,000 years ago when the veil of the temple was torn in two on Good Friday. It ceded its place to our Savior, Christianity. All of those good men of the Old Testament hoped, believed, but they did not see our Lord. But you and I, at this Mass, see our God. Shouldn't we say, along with St. Paul, that our faces should shine because of this spiritual experience? What should be the effect of having heard Mass? The Holy Eucharist should light us up from the inside. And we should go down from this mountain, from our Thabor of St. Gertrude the Great Church, with our faces shining, not angry, remember, not sullen, and God forbid, as we resolved, that we should ever commit a sin against humility or a sin against charity right here at church. We should not sully our souls. Rather, they should shine with that spiritual brilliance which other people in some way will see too. That's the point. Now, in the Gospel, our Lord pronounces a blessing right on our eyes. And then, so much as to point out the contrast, he speaks of the priest and the Levite of the Old Testament, a bit like the Pharisee, who wouldn't, remember, see himself as he really was, nor did he see his neighbor, the publican. And so these men, our Lord is saying, because they won't see things right, are not blessed in their prayer. You know, I should see myself in this gospel. I am the man that fell among robbers, and I am left half dead at the roadside. Who beat me up? Well, certainly the devil, yes. He's a reality. But also my own willfulness and my own carefully cherished weakness and sensuality and all the rest, my pride, all of these things leave me half dead and robbed of life, of grace. At Mass, at confession, at the Holy Communion, I must let our Lord, the Good Samaritan, take care of me. It seems an obvious point, but some people don't. They won't. Let our Lord bend over you and tend to your wounds. Show him where it hurts. And let him apply the gentle medicine and heal you today at this Holy Mass. I must see myself in this gospel. I tend not to see what I don't want to see, do I? And then I walk on by and because I can't be bothered. You know that lawyer in today's gospel? They say he was actually quite sincere in his question. For a change, lawyers get a good press in today's gospel. Because the Jews, you see, had a very sort of a circumscribed and narrow view of their neighbor. Who is my neighbor? He really wants to know. The Jews dismissed everyone else contemptuously. The Jewish nation does it still today, referring to them as goyim, which is an insulting word for the people, the goys, the goyim. I easily fall into that fault too. I might see someone quite ignorant, or sick and needy in body, and certainly sinners with big old disgusting sins, which cry out to heaven for vengeance. And in their souls, our Lord is being crucified again. And I don't see it. And I walk on by. But I must see him, at least, our Lord. Do you remember the Gospel of the Transfiguration? They saw no one, but only Jesus. How true that must be when I fix my eyes upon the Good Samaritan. What does that phrase mean? In Aramaic, Samaritan means the watchman. Our Lord is the kustos, the watchman, the guard, the night watchman. He's always keeping watch over his flocks by night. But Samaritan also meant, in the context of our Lord's day, a half-breed, those Jews who stayed behind during the Babylonian captivity, intermarried with pagans, had a heretical religion, and were schismatics because they set up their own temple for worship against the true temple in Jerusalem. So when the Jews say to Christ in the gospel, "Do we not say well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil?" Our Lord is being insulted by them, but he only says, "I have no devil." He lets the other insult pass because he really is a Samaritan, a watchman who guards us. And for the rest of the insult, he bears it, as must we. Someone of the new religion or in their ignorance calls you a heretic or a schismatic, you just bear it, because what matters is to see our Lord and to stay close to him. But as you see him, you have to see him insulted. The insults rain down on Christ like the spittle on the way to Calvary. And it falls down his face mixed with the blood and the sweat. And there is no one to offer reparation till Veronica comes. I've got to see our Lord in need, and I've got to come out with my towel and offer him at least a little something. Poor Jesus, he has fallen among robbers, he and his church, and he suffers in countless souls, and he is beaten up by devils and by sin, and he is crucified again. His mother reminds us today, in modern times, of the need of reparation. How do you do that? In effect, you're bending down over him. You've got some refreshing oil, and you've got some cleansing wine. Your prayers, rosaries, sacrifices, communions of reparation. To see Jesus in need and not to walk on by. I think that this kind of seeing presupposes silence. When there's all this noise and confusion in the room, our Lord's view is blocked, and it's easy to miss him. Now, August is Our Lady's month, the month of her heart. As a mother, Mary saw everything. And just as mothers do, she quietly and silently took care of everything. She still does that today. She, the truest of mothers, never misses seeing a single thing. And she's always moved to help. Ask her to open your eyes today. Oh, and ask her not to make you afraid, to show where it hurts, where it's sick or infected, to Jesus, so the Good Samaritan can tend to you today at church. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.